Okay, so yesterday we focused a little bit on the message that Avram was given by Hashem during the Bris Ben Abisar Megam B'Sagoy Asher Yavodu Don Anochi, and we mentioned in the name of the Rav, in the name of his grandfather, Reb Chaim of Brisk, that Don means not as a dispassionate judge, but really as someone who's a baldavar, somebody who feels involved in the case, feels a sense of grievance, perhaps even as a prosecutor. So I wanted now to come back to another element in the Bris Ben Abisarim, and you know, this really sort of caught the attention of Chazal, is that Avram is told, V'achrichein yetzu birchosh gadol, that the Jewish people would leave Egypt with great wealth. And the question is, like, why is that so important? In fact, the Gemara in Brachos, which we're all learning this year on Daf Tes, you know, stresses the fact that this was a little strange. And Moshe is told by Hashem in almost petitionary terms, Daber no be'ozne ha'am yishalu ish me'esrehu v'isha me'esreusa kwe chasev u'kwe zahav. Daber no be'ozne ha'am. Usually you don't have to ask people, you know, please go collect some money. Usually people are pretty eager to do that, and especially people who have been deprived of money. So what's the Daber na be'ozne ha'am? And the Gemara comments that, you know, what Moshe and the Jewish people would have implicitly wondered is, like, you know, first get us out of slavery, and then we can, you know, worry about money. You know, people who have been deprived of money but have, you know, their freedom, they might be very interested in money. But people who have been in bondage for generations, people who have been enslaved, so money is not their first priority. You know, you tell somebody who's been incarcerated for decades, you know, I can get you out of here, or I could get you out of here a little bit from now, but, you know, you can amass this amount of money. He'll say, you know, get me free, and then I'll worry about money later, right? So that's the Daber No B'Ozne Ha'am. And the Gemara goes on to say, I don't want Avram to accuse me of, you know, not really fulfilling my word, because V'avadum V'inu Osam Kiyem Behem that there was no fulfillment of the divine promise that they would leave with wealth, that they would leave with assets. And again, the Gemara both answers a question for us, which is, what's the no, what's the please all about? Like, the Jewish people would have to be begged to go ask for money, but it raises a different question, which is why Hashem was so concerned about Avram, you know, criticizing him, quote-unquote, about, you know, the lack of wealth that was given to the Jewish people. Why would that have been so important? Yes, surely, Vashem berachas Avram bakol, that Avram was given great wealth, but Avram was somebody who was willing to sacrifice everything, things much more precious than wealth, you know, for God. Kachnas binchas yichidcha shirhavta as Yitzchak. Avram was somebody, as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos famously said, who had an ayin tova, who was an extremely generous person, who wasn't in any way motivated by, like, you know, holding on to wealth and accusing people of, you know, cheating him out of wealth. And on the contrary, right, in his famous confrontation with Ephron about the Achuzas Kever for Sarah, so Avram says, B'chasef malay, yidan ali. Avram was not somebody who was looking to do things on the cheap. He wasn't, you know, interested in getting a good deal, the way that sometimes people who love money are just totally fascinated by getting a good deal and feeling that they saved $1 or $2 or $3. And, you know, that we know that as a persona. And Avram, on the contrary, wanted to pay, you know, top dollar for what he thought Sarah deserved. And that's exactly, you know, the way that he felt about it. So why, of all people, you know, Avram, like, wasn't like somebody who had this kind of relationship with money, that he was always worried about being cheated and taken advantage of, right? This isn't, you know, Lavan Ha'arami Lahavdil, who is always looking to, you know, one-up people financially. So what is this, you know, that God is worried about being accused by Avram? V'avadum v'inu osam kiyem behem v'achrichen yetzu beruchosh gadol lo kiyem behem. And moreover, in the psukim themselves, you know, we find the Torah putting such a great deal of emphasis on this, like in the middle of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Korban Pesach and all of the foundational elements of our nation. We have all these interruptions to talk about, like, money, and it seems anticlimactic. They'd emptied out Mitzrayim, right? Kimitzula, Shein Badagim, like a lake without any fish, the Gemara says. Kimitzuda, Shein bo pas, right, like ein bo dagan, like a trap, an animal trap without any food in it to bait people. You know, It's like the Torah is putting this disproportionate emphasis on the fact that the Jewish people would acquire wealth. And in fact, the Rav even pointed out that if you go back to when Moshe was first getting the message, so to speak, at the Sneh, you know, so this is long before Yetzias Mitzrayim even happens. So there too, it's like out of nowhere, as if this were some critical part of the story, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is told, you know, again, he's not told about, I don't know, Barad or Arba or Choshech, you know, Makas Bechoros, as we talked about, you know, is mentioned at an earlier stage. You know, but the Pasuk says, V'shalachtir sadivi kesis mitzrayim v'choli flosai sher sebe kirbo v'achri chen nishalach eschem v'nasati eschein am hazeh b'nei mitzrayim v'aya kisei lechon lo selchu rekam v'shalai isham ishchantam igaras pesak v'chasev v'choi zahav v'smalos v'samtam al b'neichem al b'noseichem v'nitzaltam es mitzrayim. Right in the middle here, in the Sneh, you know, Moshe is told, and by the way, the Jewish people are going to leave with great wealth. And the question is, who cares? You know, there's more fundamental issues at stake than, you know, how much money you're living with, how much money you're leaving with, and what kind of money you're leaving with, and, you know, why is any of that of concern? So, you know, the Rav developed two approaches that I think are really critical. Approach number one is that there is a halachic principle of mashikana eved kana rabo. If a person is a slave, they don't have a yad, halakhically speaking, they don't have the capacity to make an independent acquisition. In fact, this raises all kinds of questions. If the way to emancipate a slave is by giving him a get shichrur, by giving him a document, so, you know, how exactly is he supposed to make an acquisition? And anything that he acquires automatically goes to his master. So there's a Talmudic principle, gito v'yado bayin ka'achas, that at the very moment that he receives his get shichrur, like his hand, is actually his capacity to make a halachic acquisition is also acquired. A very fascinating kind of an idea. So what the Rav, you know, was trying to develop, which I thought is like a very important notion, is that it's not an interruption, but it's actually an intrinsic part of the story. What Moshe was being told at the Sneh, and what Avram Avinu was being told in a different way, even earlier, was Mashikana Eved Kana Rabo. Yeah, they're not going to be Avadim anymore. They're going to be Bnei Chorin, and the Egyptians are going to have to, you know, acknowledge that themselves. When the Jewish people acquire their wealth, that's going to be the clearest sign to the Jews and to the Egyptians that they are Bnei Chorin. So that's approach number one. Approach number two has to do with the symbolism of the money. So one approach to the symbolism of the money has to do with dignity. You know, a person's an Eved, so part of, you know, their broader persona as in an undignified state was the fact that they don't have, you know, private property, that the master can take anything at his whim, or the mistress can take anything at her whim, and there's no dignity. And so the idea of klei chasef uklei zahav usmalos v'samtam al b'neichem uv'noseichem has to do with the restoration of the Jewish people as people of dignity. It's not so much the assets per se, but it's the dignity that those assets reflect, right? That when we talk about Chayim Shel Osher V'Chavod, we should almost read that in a hyphenated way than we have Birchas HaChodesh, right? That the wealth is not significant in terms of, you know, we want to, you know, aggregate as much power and materials as possible, but a certain kind of dignity that comes along with having some degree, again, not materialism for its own sake, but a kind of dignity that comes along with, you know, having possessions. You know, the original formulation in John Locke, before it was put into our Declaration of Independence and change, was life, liberty, and property. Property, the capacity to own property, is a referendum, you know, on dignity. And so what really the Torah was emphasizing, and this would be the accusation of Avraham Avinu, was not that, okay, v'avadim v'inu osam kiim behem, v'achrei chen yetzu b'chush gadol, you know, where's my money, lo kiim behem, but it's really a question of dignity, that Avram would have wanted, as any father wants his child to be treated with dignity, Avram would have wanted the Jewish people to be treated with dignity. And in this context, the Rav developed the idea, you know, v'ayitein Hashem eschein ha'am b'nei Mitzrayim, gam ha'ish Moshe gadol me'od b'eretz Mitzrayim b'nei abdei faro, that when the Torah speaks about the transfer of wealth, it talks about chen ha'am, and it talks about gam ha'ish Moshe gadol me'od b'eretz Mitzrayim, that it's a reflection not of you know, the Jewish people sort of, like, you know, getting what's coming to them, etc., in a purely financial sense, which would not relate to dignity, but it relates to the station in which, and the esteem in which the Egyptians, their former oppressors, now held them, right? Vayitein Hashem es chen ha'am b'nei Mitzrayim, that the Egyptians simply looked at them in a very different way. Gam ha'ish Moshe gadol me'od b'eretz Mitzrayim, that they looked at Moshe as a great individual as opposed to somebody who was originally a refugee and somebody who's, you know, the very first time we meet him is, you know, left to be abandoned in the Nile, etc. As the ultimate afterthought. Now, Gam ha'ish Moshe gadol me'od, and that's obviously very important because at the beginning of his journey, when Moshe, right, and Moshe sees what an Ish Mitzri is and the unmitigated power that an Ish Mitzri has, and Moshe sees that there's no Ish, you know, to sort of lead the way, and this is now an acknowledgement that Moshe, after a very long and winding road, has become that Ish. Gam ha'ish Moshe gadol me'od, Beretz Mitzrayim, v'nei Abdei Faro, v'nei Ha'am. And that's another aspect to money, where it's not really about the money per se, but it's about the dignity and the station. So again, two approaches that the Rav developed have to do with it being an intrinsic part of their liberation. Mashikana Eved Kana Rabo, the only way they can make this acquisition is because they are B'nei Chorin. And the second approach has to do with the idea of dignity, of it's not really the materials per se, but again, the fact that the Jewish people who were so downtrodden were now a dignified people, even in the eyes of their former oppressors. So to the Rav's two approaches, I'd like to modestly offer a third approach, which I think relates to, again, not the idea of, you know, money for money's sake, but going back to the Gemara, what Avraham Avinu would have been, you know, most concerned by. And this has to do with a certain idea that the Ramban develops on multiple occasions throughout his entire presentation of Sefer Bereishis. So one of the motifs of Sefer Bereishis that the Ramban speaks about, of course, is Ma'aseh Avos Siman Labanim. And one of the most exquisite formulations of this idea that the lives of the Avos, you know, are manifested in Jewish history has to do with Shibud and Mitzrayim itself. So we know that Avram goes down to Egypt because of a famine, and Sarah is taken from him there, and Paro is subject to a nega, Vayanaga Hashem es Paro, negayim gdolim v'espeso. And finally, you know, Avram leaves Egypt, but he leaves with a great deal of wealth. V'Avram kaved mod, etc. And the Ramban notes, yeah, well, that's exactly what happened to the Jewish people. You know, the Jewish people went down. Yaakov Uvanav went down because of a famine. And the men were threatened with their lives. And you don't have to wonder what the Egyptians thought they were going to use their women for. And then, of course, the Mitzrim and Paro suffered terrible negoyim. Od nega achad aviyal parog al Mitzrayim. Achrechen yishalachas chamizah makos, specifically makas b'choros. And then, of course, the Jewish people would leave with great wealth. So if you follow sort of the logic of the Ramban, so what's absolutely critical, and I think where Avram Avinu specifically comes into the picture, is as the Medrash likes to say, Avram kavash es haderech lifnei banav, quoted by the Ramban himself, that what the Jewish people were experiencing, they were experiencing specifically as B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So if Avram left Egypt, Avram specifically, as the Av who went through this, you know, with an enormous amount of wealth, so then it was important that the Jewish people leave Egypt with wealth, not for, again, wealth's sake, but because of the experience of Ma'aseh Avos Siman Labanim, that they should realize that the events that they were experiencing were part of a historical chain, that somehow history didn't start there in many ways. National history started there, HaChodesh HaZalacham Rosh Chodashim, but that what they were experiencing was a manifestation of their being B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. And that's exactly the point that Moshe is also told at the Sneh. Kosomar al B'nai Yisrael, Okei Avosicham, Shlachani Alichem, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Zeshemi Liolam, V'zeh Zichri L'dar Dar, that this is who I am in every single generation. This is the way that I should be known, that I am known, as the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And part of what was so critical for the Jewish people to know, to internalize, to experience as they left Egypt, was that they weren't just a ragtag nation of slaves. And it wasn't just that now they were getting dignity because their masters were conferring wealth upon them, which is, you know, again, the Rav's very valuable second contribution to this discussion, but that they should have an understanding of themselves as B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They should have, not, God forbid, a sense of haughtiness, but a healthy sense of pride in their heritage. And that, of course, applies to us as well. I think it's unfortunate. We don't nearly often enough think of ourselves as the bearers of such a proud spiritual legacy of people who literally stood against an entire world of paganism, of idolatry, of polytheism, but not just the theological error of all of that, but the immorality that was associated with pagan culture. And we come from people who stood in a steadfast way against the entire world. Avram ha'ivri, kolom kulom ever echad, v'hum ever asheni, Avram t'chilu l'geirim. And so much of the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim was rediscovering that within ourselves. The Rambam, in the first parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, talks about the tree, the metaphorical tree that Avram Avinu planted in his children of sacred monotheism, and that Avram, and he passed it down to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, and Yaakov to all of his children, but especially to Levi, and all of that was nearly lost. The Rambam says, "Kemat ne'akar," it was almost all destroyed, in Egypt, uprooted, but in the end, it wasn't, and. It was saved at the last moment, so to speak, with the Jewish people's self-understanding that they were B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And so I think attaining this wealth helped the Jewish people reconnect with that as their spiritual heritage. And I think that makes the money about so much more than money, but allowing them to understand that they were going to be walking very much in the footsteps of Avram eventually directed, as we like to say, back to the one God that Avram first identified to the world, as we like to say, the whole idea in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is Maschel Begnus, Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. We go back even before Avram, and then Mesayimin B'Shevach, we conclude with God's praise, right? V'Achshav Kirvanu HaMakom L'Avodaso, God has brought us close to Him, and in that respect, I think, attaining the wealth takes on a third significance in terms of Ma'ase Avos, Siman Labanim. Okay, we'll hold it up here. Wish everybody a wonderful day.